This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Sota, Tape Number 1. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis, or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klolim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Moreinu Harav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
The halachas of Soita are written beforeish in the Torah in Parshas Nasai, Parakeh, from Sukkim Yud Aleph to Lamed Aleph. In order for a man's wife to become a Soita, two things must take place first. Kinui and Stira. Kinui means the husband specifically said to his wife, don't go into a secluded room with such and such a man. Stira means she is seen going into a private room with the man for a period of time, and she remains secluded with him for a period of time long enough for Tuma. Once these two things happen, she becomes a Soita, and she is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and drinks the Mayim HaMa'arim, the special waters of the Soita, as well as other procedures which happen there. These waters will reveal to us if she in fact was Tame, i.e. she had an affair, so to say, or she is innocent and was falsely accused. If it ends up that she is in fact Tame, she suffers terrible Yisurim from the Mei Saita. If, however, she is Tahar, she is rewarded with wonderful children. Now, if an Eishes Ish is Mizana, and two Edim see her being Mizana, or see her secluded in a room for a period of time in order to become Tame, she becomes usher to her husband, she becomes usher to the person who was boil her, and she becomes usher to eat truma. She'll probably lose her ksuba as well. And the Mishnah says here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, if a person warns his wife, i.e. with kinoi, not to go into a private room with another man, according to Rebbe Eliezer, for in order for her to become a saita and have to drink the special mei saita, the mayim ha-ma'arim, the kinoi must be done in front of two witnesses. But for stira, i.e. to see whether she actually went into a room with another man, that does not need two edim. According to Rabbi Yeshua, both kinoi and stira need two witnesses. The Mishnah asks, how does kinoi work? Mishnah answers, the husband warns her not to go into a secluded place with another man, and she ends up doing it anyway. If, however, the husband dies before she has a chance to drink the mayim ha-ma'arim, then if there happens to be a brother there who would normally do yibam, we don't do yibam, but we only do chalitza. And the Gemara asks, why is the Parsha of Saita in the Torah right next to the Parsha of Nazir? Of all places, why was it placed there? The Gemara answers, Shekol haraya Saita bekilkulai, yazir atzmai minayayin. If a person sees a Saita under these circumstances, he should then, as a matter of tshuva, so to say, he should remove himself from drinking wine by becoming a Nazir. Correct the Gemara, so if the Parsha of Saita is first in the Torah, why wasn't it the first Masechta here in Seder Nashim? Why wasn't it right after Ksubas? Gemara answers, in Ksubas we had Perek HaMadir, that talked about Nadarim. So first we learn Nadarim, then we learn Nazir, then we learn Saita. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a wife whose maises are consistent with his own actions. And assigning a wife to a man is very, very difficult. In fact, it's as hard as Kriyas Yamsuf. Kushin Zvugin ke Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara asks, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu assign a wife according to the actions of a man? A wife is decided on even before a person is born. So we can't wait to see what his maises are. We know that the assignment is made even before he's born. Arbayim yayim kaidem yitziris havlad, bas kol yotzes, v'yomeres, bas pleni lepleni, bias pleni lepleni, soda pleni lepleni. 40 days before a man is born, it's decided who his wife is going to be, what his house is going to be, and what fields he's going to own. Rashi, by the way, explains from Masechtas Nida that there is a special malach who brings the Shidduchim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his decisions. And here the Gemara answers, the first marriage of a person is Lefi this mazel, which is decided upon 40 days before he's born. However, the second wife that he has, if he has a second wife, that's according to Lefi Maisav. The Maral explains that Kriyas Yamsuf is difficult because it separates water from water, against the laws of nature. So too with Shidduchim. That's the connection. That's why Kushin Zvugin Kriyas Yamsuf. To bring two people from totally separate backgrounds together, That's also amazingly difficult. And technically, it's against the laws of nature in order for it to be successful, because these two people come from totally separate backgrounds. Just like Kriyas Yamsuf is against the laws of nature, so too is this. That's why we say the analogy, Kashin Zvugin Kriyas Yamsuf. Then the Iri, by the way, points out that Kan Bezug Rishon, Kan Bezivug Sheni, which we mentioned before in speaking about which Shidduch ends up taking place and which is decided before the person is born and which is Lefi Ma'isef. What does this mean? This doesn't mean, according to the Me'iri, that we're referring to first wife, second wife, but rather, even though Mazel decides in a Shidduch, i.e., it's decided upon before a person is born, but if a person has the right Ma'isef, he does the right things, then he can rise above the Mazel and bring himself a different wife who really wasn't predestined originally. The Skver Rebbe Zichron LeBracha asks, why do we need to go through the whole process of looking for a Shidduch at all? Why do we have to go out with people and go out for a period of time? It's all predetermined anyways. So let's just wait, make no hishtadlus, and the right girl will come along, because 40 days before a person is born, it's decided anyway who it's going to be. So the Skver Rebbe answers, we know that by Kriyas Yamsuf, Kushin Zvugin Kriyas Yamsuf, by the original Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael went into the Yamsuf, and actually came out on the exact same side that they went in. So what was the accomplishment? If they came out on the same side they went in, what was the miracle that happened? The answer is, there was a Kriya. It was a Kriya Tziamsif. Klal Yisrael was able to see that. Klal Yisrael was able to see the Yad Hashem. And all the Mitzriim ended up dying. So there were a lot of things that were accomplished, despite the fact that they came out the same side they went in. Same thing is true with Shidduchim. Sometimes the final result is something very simple, something that we knew all along, a person who we may have known from down the block, in fact. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make the Hishtadlus and go through our own mini Kriyas Yamsuf before we come to the end and final result. The Gemara says if there was Kinui and Stira, and an Eid Echad saw them go into a room privately for a period of time, the woman does not drink the Meisaita, but she becomes Asur to her husband, and she goes without a Ksuba. Because here there was only an Eid Echad, there weren't two Eidim. In the Torah, the term aid, when the Torah says aid, always means two aidim, even when it uses the term aid. Unless beferish it says aid echad, then it's referring to an aid echad. Otherwise, it's always referring to shnei aidim. Rabbi Yesi Rabbi Yehuda's shita in Rabbi Eliezer is that kinoi warning can be even with an aid echad, but stira needs to be with two aidim. Therefore, today, a person shouldn't even privately say to his wife, don't go into that room with this other person, because we need to be chayshish, for the shita of Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, that kinoi is possible and may even be chal even with one aid. The Rambam paskens, even bizman hazeh, if a man warns his wife and they see her go into a private room with a particular stranger that she was warned about, although there's no mei saita and there's no procedure today for a saita, she still becomes usher to her husband. That's why we have to be very careful with these types of warnings. And the concept of kinoi comes from the word kina, which means creating bad feelings with other people. Daf Gimel. Rameir says when a person does an Avera in private, Hashem announces it in public, Behachroza. Reish Lakish says a person isn't over an Avera unless a Ruach Shtus takes him over. The Gemara asks, why does the Torah believe in Eid Echad for a Saita? The Gemara answers, since the Eidus is only after a valid Kinoi and Stira, where there were more Eidim. A person doesn't warn his wife unless a Ruach Tuma comes over him. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Kinoi to one's wife is a Rishus. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a Chayv. There are many other machlekes and in Shas where Rabbi Yishmael holds a certain thing is a rishus, but Rabbi Akiva, he holds it's a chayv. The Gemara says sometimes the Torah repeats an entire parsha just to be mechadish one halacha. And we say, when there is nus in a house, it destroys the whole house, like a bug gets into a plant. Anger, in the same way, can also destroy an entire house. Rabbi Chizda said, before Klal Yisrael was chayta with Arayis, the Shechina rested in everyone's house. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, every mitzvah that a person does in this world precedes him in Olam Haba. An Avera follows him, however, to his Yom Hadin. Daftala. How long is the duration of time for Stira to be Chal, and this in conjunction with Kinoi would make her Asur to her husband? The Gemara answers, it must be a Shir for her to become Tame via Bia. Exactly how long this is a Machlaikas Amirayim. All of the Amirayim established their Shiurim of how long this Bia needs to be from their own experience, except Ben Azai, who was never married. Others said he was married, but he was separated from his wife. The Gemara says anyone who eats bread without washing the Tilas Yadayim, it's like he has nus with a zayna. Rabbi Zreika says, anyone who doesn't wash the Tilas Yadayim will be uprooted from this world. Rabbi Chia says, when you wash the Tilas Yadayim before a meal, you must hold your hands upwards. But for Mayim Achrayim, you keep your hands downward, so as to wash off the melach sedaimis, which may pollute the hands and can cause blindness. We know from different Gemaras, the reason we wash Maya Machrena is because this melach sedaimis, a certain type of salt which get on a person's hands, and if the person touches his eyes, he could blind himself. Yep. The Mishnah Brura, Simit Kuf Samach Beis, Sifkot and Tes, adds that a person should be sure when he washes the Tila Sedayim that the water should reach all parts of his hands and fingers. Anyone who eats bread, the Gemara says, without drying his hands, it's like eating miyasa bread. The Torah and the Beis Yosef hold that the bracha of the Tilas Yadayim is made before washing his hands, over las yasan. The Mechaber, quoting Tosfos, holds that first you wash your hands, then you make the bracha. The Rama says, drying hands is part of the mitzvah, therefore you're supposed to wash, then you make the bracha, then you dry your hands. So it's sort of like over las yasan. This is how we do it today. But the Eved, if you make the bracha after drying, you're still yaitze. The Magen Avraham adds that one shouldn't dry his hands in his shirt, since it's kasha l'shikcha, brings a person a sort of a klala that a person will forget a lot of his learning. According to the Beis Yosef, as long as one uses a revius in the netila, only one pouring of water is necessary on each hand. The Rajba and the Ravid, as well as the Gra, say that one should always do two pourings on his hand, two on each hand. The Arizal holds one needs three pourings on each hand. The Gemara says any person who is conceited will end up being nichshel in Eishes Ish. And Rava says the learning of Torah is more chashev than rubies, and more chashev when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says a Bal Gaiva is likened to many bad people, including a Eved Avodah Zarah and a Kaifer Be'ikar. And even if he was Mekabel Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, he won't be shielded Midina Shel Gehenna. Daf Hey. Rav Avira said any person who is too lofty will be reduced down, but a humble person will have the Shechina come down to him, like the Shechina came down to Har Sinai. People should learn from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Creator, and that we should be humble like HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Har Sinai, and the Sneh, the burning bush, which really weren't that high, and yet the Shechina came down to them anyway. Rebbe Lazar said, any person who's a Bal Gaiva will not be Zeche to Tchias HaMesim, and Hashem says on them that we can't be both together in this world, there's not room for both of us. The Gemara says, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, Hashem says that he will destroy them. We know how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. In fact, we know that on Yom Kippur, which is the only time of the year that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadashim, one of the tefillahs that he says when he's in the Kodesh Kadashim is a tefillah to be mechaper for Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham is supposed to have a little bit of pride, one-eighth of what he deserves, and it becomes like a crown on him. Chizkiyahu says, a person's tefillah is not heard unless he makes himself soft in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaTanya adds, this means coming to the Madrega of total bittul to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Rabbi Yechanan says, Adam, the word Adam, man, is the Rosh Tevis, Afar, dust, Dam, blood, and Mara, secretions. This shows us how low we really are. And finally, the Gemara says, any person who calculates his worth, i.e. the Schar of Mitzvahs, the Einish of Averis, and he does this on a regular basis, he will be Zeiche to the Yeshua of Hashem. Tafav. If a woman is a Saita and then her husband dies, is there a mitzvah siyibim or not? Rabbi Yosef says there is not. The Mishnah. Here are cases where a person, where a woman cannot eat truma, even if she's a bas kain. Number one, if she concedes tmeya anilach before she drank the mei Saita. Number two, if Edim came and said she was tame. Number three, she refuses to drink. Number four, he refuses to let her drink. And finally, number five, the husband was ba'aleha after kina yistira. She can't drink, but is usher in truma. At that point, she can't drink anymore, but she's still usher in truma. And the Gemara says, a saita is about to drink the water. If at that moment there is a witness in the world that knew she was mitame, the water won't work, because it is only effective if no one alive knows anything about it. Others disagree. Rebbe says, if a woman has schusim, even if she's tame, when she drinks the mei saita, nothing will happen to her. Rabbi Shimon argues, and says that Schusim cannot change the Meisaita in your favor, because if they did, people would be Maitzi Shemra on an innocent woman, and say, really, she was Tameh, but the Meisaita didn't hurt her, since she had Schusim. The Gemara says, once a Mincha goes into a Kli Sharis, even if it was done betos, the Mincha becomes Chulin. There are four parts to the Avodah of a Karban, as we know, Shechita, Kabbalah, Hailacha, and Zrika. Shechita is Shechting, killing the animal. Kabbalah is taking the blood into a keli, halacha is carrying up to the mizbeach, and zrika means sprinkling on the blood. For a mincha, we have four corresponding parts. Number one, the kmitza, which is taken in the hand. Number two, putting it into a clay sharis. Number three, hailacha. And finally, number four, haktara. If the kmitza was done, and the husband died, or she dies, it's already at that point where the kmitza had already been done, so they have to burn the carbon. And if in the middle of the process they found that the edim who gave kinyu istira were edim zaymimin, so then the whole mincha is pasul. And finally, the Gemara says if a saita drinks the meisaita, sota waters, without any apparent fatal consequences, she's considered to be innocent and is permitted to return to her husband. The Mishnah, however, says, as we mentioned before, even at this point, if two witnesses were to testify to her guilt, they are believed. There's a machlokes between Reb Sheshes and Reb Yosef as to the exact logic behind this. Tosfos deliberates whether the same halacha of accepting edus even subsequent to her drinking the meisaita applies also to a case of an eid echad, to a single witness. Tosfos concludes that since in regard to saita, a single witness was given the same credibility as two witnesses, since there's raglayim l'dagavar, there's circumstantial evidence, i.e. she was suspiciously secluded with another man. Therefore, the eid echad is believed to testify even after she partook in the saita drink, just as we believe two witnesses. The Rambam, however, in Hilchos Saita Perek Gimel, disagrees with Tosfos and maintains that a single witness in eid echad is not believed to testify to a saita's guilt once she partook in the saita drink. Daf Zayin. After Kinyan Yestira, the husband takes his wife to the local Bezda. If, based on the testimony, they find her potentially guilty, she becomes a saita, and they take her to the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, accompanied by two Talmidei Chachamim. This is to be sure the husband isn't Ba'alaha, which would passel the Meisaita from being effective, as we mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda says, he's believed without Edom. And the Gemara says, you need two Talmidei Chachamim present to ensure that there's no Yichud on the trip with the woman. Or, maybe you need two Talmidei Chachamim to be sure that there would be two Edom if he was Ba'alaha. Either Gemara asks, Sota is Aser as a Lav, Nida is Aser Midaraisa, i.e. this Karas. So if a man is believed regarding his wife that he wasn't Bala when she was a Nida, why should we need Edom regarding the man Yichas with his wife, who's a Saita? The Gemara answers, you can argue the Kal v'Chomer the other way. Nida is believed since eventually she becomes Mutter at the end of the monthly cycle. So the Yetzer Hara isn't that strong. Mashenkin, if she becomes proven Usar as a Saita, he can never return to her. Therefore, that's a bigger reason that he shouldn't be believed. The Mishnah. The Bezdin and Yerushalayim challenge her and warn her that she should admit guilt if she's guilty. Otherwise, she'll die a terrible death via the Meisaita. And they tell her nicely that she'll be forgiven if she admits, since people do make mistakes, like Yehuda and Reuven. They made mistakes. The reason we say this is to help give her the courage to admit if she, in fact, is guilty. If she admits, then she's Teitzei B'Lei K'suva. However, there's no Misa, of course, since there were no Edim. If she says, I'm innocent, we take her to the Sha'ar Nikonar, on the Beis HaMikdash, which is the eastern gate of the Azara, which is between the Ezra's Nashim and the Ezra's Yisrael. This is the same place where a Mitzayra, or Yeledes, comes for Tahara. At the Shar, at this gate, the Kayin grabs her garment and undoes her hair and takes off her jewelry in order to embarrass her. And all women in the area who are around should come and see this as a Musar. And the Gemara asks, why do we need the Bezdin HaGadol? Why do we need 71 judges here? Our answer is, by Saita it says Kol HaTaira, and by Zaken Mamre it says Al Pi HaTaira, which could only be handled by the Bezdin HaGadol. The Gemara says the bones of Yehuda rolled around in the Kever while Bnei Yisrael was in the Midbar, until Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal to Hashem. From the Pasuk of Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, we learned about these tefillas. When a loan is paid back, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you simply rip up the shtar halva. And therefore, it was paid off. That's it. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the malva actually keeps the shtar, but gives the leiva a receipt that it was paid off. So the particular shtar still exists, which of course could create trouble later on. If in fact the person loses the receipt, the malva could come back and say, you never paid me back. Tavches. The fact that they moved the saita up to the Beis HaMikdash, the reason we do all this, is in order to give her time to think about the consequences. The same way we move around the Ede Misa, people who come to testify, and they testify to the point that a person could be put to death because of their testimony. We also move them around so they'll have time to ponder how serious their edus really is. The Gemara says there are three people who are brought to the Sha'ar Nikonar: a Saita, a Yeledes, and a Mitzera. They all come at the point of Mechusrei Kapara, since they're not allowed into the Azara before that point. How about a Zava? Our answer is Einachanami. They're included in Yeledus. But Azov is also included, just part of Yeledus. Where it says two saitas, do not drink the meisaita at the same time, since either one may influence the other one, Rabbi Yehuda says, because of Xeris HaKasav of Oisa, meaning her alone. In fact, we wouldn't do them anyway together, even without these reasons, because of the klal of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs, Chavilas Chavilas. We don't do mitzvahs in bunches. Not two saitas, not two mitzeres, not two avadim, or not two egla arufa. However, the Gemara says that this halacha only applies if you have one kayan doing it together. But if you have two kahanim, then it's okay to do them together. Rashi explains that the svara behind the klal of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is because it looks like we're trying to unload the mitzvah quickly, so it's not covered for the mitzvah. Nira kamasoi. Taisvis in Ma'id Katan Daf Ches learns that the klal of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is because it's a chasaran in the individual attention needed for each mitzvah. Shehei liboy panoi la mitzvah. Taisvis compares this to what we say, Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, regarding a chasana an yantif, that you don't do a chasana an yantif, because Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Before we mention that the Gemara draws a distinction between a case where both saitas are being attended to by only one kayan, and a case where each saita is being attended to by separate kayanim. As mentioned in Al Hadaf, the Rishonim offer conflicting interpretations of this Gemara. Taisvis explains that the Gemara is saying that the only time there is a concern for Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is that there is just one kohen attending to both saitas. Taisvis says that when each saita is being attended by different kohanim, then there is no problem of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, since each kohen is doing only one mitzvah of administering the saita drink. Taisvis elaborates further that even if one kohen is not actually administering the two drinks exactly at the same moment, nevertheless, the rule of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas mandates that two saitas shall not simultaneously be standing and waiting in the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, for the kohen to attend to them. Taisvis is of the opinion that merely lining them up together in weight of a mitzvah is also not proper and is considered a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, because this too gives the impression that the kohen is rushing to finish his mitzvahs. The Rambam, however, as explained by the Karen Ira, interprets the Gemara in direct contrast to Taisvis. He is of the opinion that specifically when there are two kohanim attending to the saitas, there is a concern of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, since both mitzvahs are being performed at the exact same moment, albeit by separate kohanim. The Rambam, being of the opinion that where each of the saitas are being attended to individually, even if it's by the same kohen, that is not considered Mitzvahs Chavilas, since the two mitzvahs are not being done simultaneously. The Magen Avram, in Simen Kuf Mem Zayin Sif Yud Zayin, comments that this dispute between Taisvis and the Rambam has several practical halachic ramifications. He says that if there are two babies that are to be circumcised in the same shul by the same male, that according to Taisvis, the two infants should not be brought into the shul at the same time. The rule of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas will require that the second infant not be brought into the shul before the milah of the first infant is completed. According to the Rambam, however, merely having both infants simultaneously awaiting their milah does not constitute a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas as long as the two circumcisions are not actually performed simultaneously. On the other hand, if each infant is to be circumcised by a different male, then the Rambam will disallow both circumcisions to take place simultaneously. Whereas according to Taisvis, since the circumcisions are not being performed by the same male, it does not constitute a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, even if performed simultaneously. Another practical halachic ramification is in regard to the situation where we read from two Sifrei Torah on the same day, for example, when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos. Our minhag, as mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, is to take out both Sifrei Torah from the Aron Kodesh together. The Vilna Gaon, however, knows that this minhag is contrary to the Talmud Yerushalmi, Saita Perek Zayin, which states that due to the rule of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, the second Sefer Torah should not be removed from the Aron Kodesh until the first Sefer Torah is returned. The Magen Avraham, however, suggests that the Yerushalmi is in accordance only with Taisvis's approach, and therefore considers merely lining up both Sifrei Torah to be read by one Balkare to be a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. He says that our minhag, however, is consistent with the position of the Rambam, that as long as the actual mitzvahs of reading the Torah are not performed simultaneously, in other words, both parshas are not read at the same time, then merely taking out both Sifrei Torah together do not constitute a violation of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. The next Mishnah. Hashem measures people how they measure themselves. For example, a saita dresses up to do an avera, so Hashem punishes her body. the Gemara. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, although Bezdin was discontinued, the four mises of Bezdin still exist. For example, if a person was mechuyev in skila, we don't actually kill him today because we can't do that. But rather, he'll fall off a roof or an animal will trample him, similar to what skila would have been in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. These same coincidental type, so to say, mises would also apply to a person, Bizman HaBayis, who evaded Mises Bezdin. The death will eventually catch up with him anyways. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that this Misa is actually good for a person, since it provides the necessary kapara for the chait. Taftes. The Saita made her fingernails pretty, so her nails fall off. She brought her stomach close to him, so her stomach swells. The Gemara says in the dream that Yosef interpreted for the Sar HaMashkim, there were three cups, which were the reflections of three bad experiences Mitzrayim will have, the final one in the Yemais HaMashiach. The Gemara says the Rabbeinu Shlalem doesn't mete out punishment to a nation until it is ready to go into exile, and Hashem doesn't punish a person until his guilt reaches a full shear of satisfaction. If a person sets his eyes on things that don't belong to him, things which do belong to him will be taken away from him. For example, Kairach, who wanted the kahuna, so he lost his life. The lesson is that each person has certain talents that he's given. He should use those talents to their fullest extent, and he should be happy with them. Next Mishnah. Shimshon went after the desires of his eyes. That's why the Plishtim took out his eyes, Mida Keneged Mida. There are many other examples that the Mishnah brings of Mida Keneged Mida. But Mida Keneged Mida not only applies to Einish, but to Schar as well. For example, since Yosef buried his father, he was zeichet to be a melech who was remembered as a very chashiva person. And the Gemara says, if Delilah wasn't called Delilah, it would have been a perfect name for her, since she was Dildala, she overturned the heart of Shimshon. Dafyud. There were two very big mountains that Shimshon picked up and ground them together. Eventually, they took Shimshon out of prison and wanted to kill him. He was Mizbal Ta'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was saved. Shimshon was so big and strong, there was a distance of 60 amos between his two shoulders. And in fact, once he carried the gates of a city on his strong shoulders. Rabbi Yochanan says, any person who is Mizana, he will have Mida Keneged Mida. His wife will also be Mizana with someone else. He also said that Shimshon's name come from the name of Hashem, Ki Shemesh Umagen, as is written in Tillim. Yaakov Avinu thought that Shimshon was going to be capable of being the Mashiach. There were five people who were born with special powers and all suffered because of these powers. Shimshon, Shaul, Tzidkiyahu, Avshalom, and Asa. Avram Avinu planted an orchard, an Eshel, near Beersheba, so people passing by would have food to eat. Others say he built an inn there. Chazal say Eshel is equal to Achila, Shesia, and Levia, as Avram Avinu was Malava, the people, in and out. The Gemara says that Yehuda thought Tamar was a Zaina because she covered her face. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, every daughter-in-law who is modest in her father-in-law's house will be Zeicha to have Melachim and Neviim. And in the end, David came out from Yehuda. Tamar didn't want to embarrass Yehuda, because Noyach Leilo Adam Shayapil Atzme Lotaych Kipshana Eish Via Yalbin Pnei Chaveirei Beravim. It's better for a person to want to have himself thrown into a furnace of fire so that he shouldn't have to embarrass his friend publicly. Taisvah says that the reason this mitzvah isn't listed amongst the Yaharig Via Yavar, we know that there are three things that a person must give up his life for, Gilei Arayash, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. The reason it's not listed there is because it's not found beferish in the Torah. The Gemara says Yehuda was such a tzaddik, he was Mekadeshem Shemayim Barabim, so he was Zeicha, but the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is included in his name. And in fact, all the Malachim came from Yehuda. The Marsha asks, Yehuda was given his name at birth. It wasn't given after he had the schus of being a tzaddik. So what's the pshat? He answers, the Imais had the Ruach HaKadosh to know that he would be this kind of a tzaddik, so they knew to give him the name Yehuda. The Arizal says that in every person's name, there are Birchei Hashem. Avshalom rebelled against his family via his hair. He was the perfect human being, and he had no mumin. And finally, the Gemara says that Avshalom eventually died via hanging from his own hair. David was very upset when this happened.